for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and strong front runner for the Oscar this year.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
I hear.
And, well, actually, it probably is going to be the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Like, my peers are going to select me.
Well, yeah, but that's a stepping stone.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
All right, so Drew and I got together over the weekend, had a little dinner. That was Friday
really
night.
Really great dinner, by the way.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Friday night, let me tell you something. I'll tell you the part. Let me tell the part that sucks. I paid for the dinner. Drew always offers to pay. And you know what? I'm kind of with him on this. Like,
just split it all the time.
Yeah, here's the thing. Jimmy won't ever do this.
Won't split.
No, Jimmy won't split.
Huh.
Jimmy will pay.
So he got you into that.
He'll pay, and then after, eventually he'll get angry at you for not paying. But he'll constantly. It's considered low rent, you know, to split, to whack it up. Once everyone makes a few bucks, it's low rent. But the thing is like, for nine people, the meal is free, and for one guy, it costs $1,100.
Right.
Like, for one guy, it's a big screen TV.
Right.
For everyone else, it's free. To me, it's better just have it be a clock alarm for everybody instead of a big screen TV for one guy.
I totally agree. It's economies of scale.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would rather just whack it up every time, but it's considered sort of low rent.
All right. Well, but now we're starting that pendulum action.
It's what you do. I went out to breakfast yesterday with my buddy, the Weast, an old place we used to go to when we were like and we just moved out. We live in our apartment stuff. And our waitress said, this is a diner. You know, it's the total comes to like $14. Said, you guys separate check? And I thought, who would do a separate? And then I thought, we used to do a separate. Used to do a separate check. Like, yeah, we both ordered the special, but you got the small orange juice. So we get the separate check because it can be confusion. We try to cut this in half because you got 85 cents, you know, more on your ledger. But it's considered low rent just to whack it up. So I paid for it because I invited Drew out. Now, here's the part that's tough. It's expensive. It was like, I don't know, 200 and change or maybe 250 or something like that. But then you got to leave the tip. And the problem is that I know the guy who owns the restaurant.
Right.
And you see, if you leave a crappy tip or anything under than a great tip, it immediately, see, there's a trail. It's like you stinking up a bathroom where the person, you know,
knows
the person lives in the house.
Yeah.
And suppose you just at a campsite just crapping up some anonymous stall. You see what I'm saying?
You know, here's what we need to do. We need to go back to that restaurant again next time I pay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's it.
I don't mind the paying part. It's the tip.
But I'll have to do the same thing.
Tip.
But I will because it's with you, and I met the guy.
You don't have to. See, I did because I was working with this guy on this TV show, and he owns this restaurant. And then immediately, you know, the waitress gonna, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
It's bad times.
All right, it's good times. So you went, Drew went to the premiere of his movie.
My film with
you and the Olsen twins.
Yeah, with Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Saturday night? At
the surface of the sun, actually. I think that's where we had it. It was so hot.
They said the surface of the sun.
I didn't know what that was. No, it was the Gromit's Chinese.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. And I don't know. Okay, Drew, because you and I have done a handful of these.
Yeah.
And it's everything I do is hot, by the way, that involves a camera.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Something with these red carpets where it's always they shoot them about 4:30 or 5 o'clock. It's at noontime in your eyes, sun.
Yeah.
And the camera's backs, you know, the cameraman's back is to the sun. But the sun's hitting you like someone's reflecting it in your eyes. And then they're hitting you in the face with the microphone.
Yeah.
And you're always wearing a black suit. And you can feel it sort of radiating, just soaking up through the sleeves.
Ugh.
And you're wearing the tie that's pulled up. And it's, for me, it's always just copious amounts of sweat just pouring down my forehead while I'm trying. It's looking like I just did a, you know, 30-foot long rail of coke before I came in there.
Well, two things about that event for me. One was they wanted to have my family on that red carpet too. They wanted pictures of the family. They had the whole Full House cast there, so they wanted me and Bob Saget, Bob Saget and the girl, me and the girls.
Yeah.
So
hey, everybody, here's the unsuccessful
the old dad,
cast
the new
members.
Dad. Oh boy, and Bob, by the way, great guy. Spent a fair amount of time with
Saget.
Yeah, really
good
nice
guy.
Super
well,
nice guy. Yes.
Yeah.
Super nice.
I gotta.
All right. Let's keep going.
And then just let me tell you something about Bob Saget.
Yeah.
I called Bob Saget at his house once because I was trying to get him to do something with the Man Show. I mean, we have a relationship, me and, well, I call him Bobby. Yeah. I'm not calling him Robert. I call him whatever you guys don't know him as. Like, if you know him as Robert De Niro, I'll call him Bob. And if you know him as Bob Saget,
Bobby.
I'll call him Robert. Okay, no, I'll just go. Switch. I'll go the opposite. I called him at home, and I said, hey, Bob, hey, listen, Adam, can you have anything? He said, where'd you get my home number? I said, oh, I called up what's-her-name over at Comedy Central. She gave it to me. No, she didn't. I said, yeah, sure she did. No, where'd you get it? He made a huge deal over where I got his home phone number, and I was like, I just called up, you know, Marsha over at Comedy Central. She gave it to me. He's like, what a big deal. I had to explain to him that at this point in our careers, you shouldn't be worried about where I got your phone number.
Ooh, what'd he say to that?
Well, it was uncomfortable. Yeah. But the point is, he made a big deal about where I got his phone number. And I told you 8 times this guy from someone at Comedy Central. So anyway.
That's not good. Great.
I was saying, if Saget called you at home, you wouldn't be like, hey, where'd you? No. Okay, go ahead.
All right, my family out in the red car, right? And I think a little overstimulating for the kids.
Did they throw up?
No,
it would have been funny if one of them threw up.
Too into it.
Too into it?
Too into it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Someone's going to get eating disorder.
No, not that.
Yeah, your wife's going to get those kids all fired up. They're going to get headshots.
No.
They're going to,
No. But I get up this morning, Douglas, one of my sons is playing at the computer. He's got his hand on his cheek, and he goes, Dad, I'm obsessing about the red carpet. I can't stop thinking about it.
Oh, no.
Like, really? What was so fun about it? Oh, it was just so fun. I'm meeting everybody. Well, I thought, bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad thing.
Yeah.
All right, so that was bad. Good thing, I spent a good 10 minutes with Uncle Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's good people.
And Uncle Frank from the Kimmel Show. And
sure.
Learned a ton about that guy. 500 women. 500 women. Many prostitutes. Currently using Viagra with great success.
Yes, phenomenal.
500 women.
So he said.
And he insisted. And he went on to tell me a little detail about it and how it was the 60s and free love. And we wouldn't know anything about that.
He was a cop.
Yeah.
All right, so that was good.
Yeah, that was
how was the movie?
Good. It's good.
Really?
It's for kids.
Okay.
No, it's a kid film. It's a fun family film.
Family film. It's good. How were you? Were you okay?
I was all right. It's hard to watch yourself.
Yes. Very difficult.
I thought Andy Richter for me was sort of the standout.
Andy Richter's coming in here tomorrow night, everybody.
And I think Jack and I think about equally hit the cutting room floor.
Jack Osborne.
We're in there about equal, and I think we filmed about equal, and we weren't in there all that we shot, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. Well, look, I've made like 5 movies and never been in one of them yet. So at least some of you
guys
left
they cut it up. It's amazing.
All right. So,
how
much were you in the film, do you think?
How many minutes?
Yeah, I know it's unfair, because if you're in the movie for like 8 minutes, it's a pretty good chunk,
I was in about 8 minutes, I'd say.
You were?
I was in the opening scenes, set it all up. I was in one quick scene in the middle and one in the epilogue.
All right. That's all.
That's all right. Speaking part.
Well, it's better being in for like 12 minutes than just getting cut out like a cancerous tumor.
And the... girls did a really good job. I was moved by some of them.
Have they acted before, those things?
Yeah, I think they have. I think they have. But anyway, I did not expect to be moved. I thought it was going to be all sort of action and funny. And,
right.
But there was some cute movie. Yeah, it was.
All right. So you did number two.
I did.
And the boys, did they like the girls?
Yeah.
They're into them?
Nah.
Yeah?
They're into the whole thing. A little too
all right.
Much.
Just remember, Drew, you're a man of exquisite passion.
I know. It's gonna
and
be...
your sons will inherit your
some
passion.
Of that.
Oh, if they get a tenth of your passion, they'll be serial rapists. So I'm just saying,
yeah.
You know, look out.
Yeah.
Faith?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. I'm just freakishly obsessed with a guy, and I can't stop calling him. And I've talked to everybody about it, and it's driving me crazy. And so that is what compelled me to call you.
We
were, like, kind of dating and then kind of just, like, friends, but he would spend the night at my house and snuggle me all night long and then get drunk and come over to my house and tell me he wanted to marry me and then a week later tell me he's not attracted to me and stop calling me. And
whoa, perfect relationship.
He would tell, very healthy, perfectly normal. He would tell you he's not attracted to you when he was sober.
Right. I'm not that, I don't think I'm that bad looking. I don't know. I mean, but he would hang out with me when he was sober, too. He just
Faith, you look has nothing to do with his behavior right now. Where did you meet this guy?
No, I think you're right. I think I have bad, I'm bad at picking.
How old is he?
He's 33 or 34.
What does he do for a living now?
I don't even know what job he has right now. He's living in halfway house.
Halfway house. For what? For psychiatric problems or?
Well, he's a heroin addict.
Yeah. And he's getting drunk. So he's in his disease, and he's sucking you into his vortex.
But that's what he did. This was, like, 6 months ago. And then, like, so I kept some space from him. But I just, like, really miss him. And I know I should stop calling him, but I can't seem to stop calling
Faith,
him every once
Faith,
in a while.
You are behaving like a drug addict.
By the way, when you call, I'm picturing a payphone in the hallway ringing of the flop house he's currently
well,
squatting.
He has a cell phone.
All right, listen, Faith, what is up, baby? What happened to your self-esteem?
Faith, you're addicted to this guy. You are behaving like an addict who is early in recovery looking for a life preserver. Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how what addicts do early in the game.
Aha! Uh-huh.
They look for something to distract them, something or give them arousal and excitement.
Right.
And listen, your recovery is in trouble. You need to get with your sponsor, listen to what she says, get more structure in your life, and get going. This is a bad, bad move on your part. And the fact that you're obsessing about it means that you are in some sort of sense of desperation, and that means your recovery has fallen apart. So.
She's calling from Northridge, by the way, which had to be 113 degrees today.
Oh, so brutally hot.
Crazy bizarre hot.
Yeah.
Crazy India
hot. It's 88 outside now, my car.
I got into my car and started driving to work. It said 92. It was 9:36 in the evening. I got on the freeway. It said 89. I was on the 10. I'm on the west side.
Weird.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, for those of you who are listening, different parts, you know, the valley, that's hot, and then the west side, that's cooler.
It's the ocean.
It's the ocean side. Yeah, I mean, you know, 10 miles from the ocean, but it's the ocean side. That's 89 degrees at almost 10 o'clock at night on the ocean side?
Absurd. Weird.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it to, like, start... you know, just raining.
Meteors or something, yeah.
No, I was thinking like a vermin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like lemmings or something start falling. Like just weird acts of God. You know, the sort of biblical proportions.
It has
type,
an apocalyptic quality to it. The heat is so brutal.
Yeah, but it on top of being uncomfortable, it's disconcerting.
Yeah.
It's weird to walk outside your house at 10 o'clock at night and have it be 90 degrees in May. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just driving down the freeway with the air conditioning blasting.
Full blast. And it won't get cold.
It's crazy. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah, I have a question. I like to worship my girlfriend's feet while we're making out, but she doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Worship so, them. That,
worship
that...
as in kissing her feet and sucking her toes.
Okay. Okay, good, because we thought you meant beating off on and, you know... It's not a
not a chivalrous.
Could be worship, but
not
know,
chivalrous
from a textbook standpoint. Not really worship.
Yeah, worship as in kissing her feet, sucking in, licking in. Whatever.
She thinks it's weird, which it is.
It is. And
well, my question is like, if Dr. Drew does know, like, why do I have it? And
There's all kinds of reasons or at least theories about how people get fetishes, and basically they are a way to focus your attention. We really don't know specifically or precisely what they are, but they serve a function. The function is basically to distract you so you can have intimacy, so you can function sexually. A way to focus your sort of put your focus so anxiety and unpleasant. People theorize, in fact, that the sort of a castration fear that men have. This is a way to focus oneself on something else you don't think about.
I think I was born with it because, you know, I do remember way back, you know, it's not like something that I just had.
It's somewhere, it starts in the first year or two of life. It's not because you're born with it.
Develops, but doesn't
as far
it seem,
as we know.
All right, but doesn't it seem like, hold on. Doesn't it seem like there's always a certain percentage of society that's going to be foot fetishists?
So you're saying it's just genetically in us?
Well, here's what I'm saying. I don't know where it came from, but there's always been a certain percentage of society that was gay, and there's always been a certain percentage of society that were killers. And there's always been a certain percentage of society that worshipped feet. And you just... You know, there's a certain percent that gets cancer, and there's a certain percent that has blue eyes.
But there's a certain percent that gets sexually abused, certain percent that has depression, certain percent, certain personality disorders, and some of that is genetic determinism. Yeah, and some of that is the environmental factors that come to bear.
Yeah.
Some of it's both.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something along those same kinds of lines. And I misspoke. It says in the first 2 years of life, people actually think it's around age 4 or 5 that the stuff gets wired in. And that's it. They're probably critical periods of development when if you make it through without getting traumatized, you don't get one of these things. Mm-hmm. But if the brain's getting set at a certain, is sort of evolving at that certain period of development, and something funky happens that makes you sort of feel uncomfortable about your sexuality, you get one of these things.
Aren't we sort of feeling with the fetishes that people need to sort of not indulge themselves because they tend to have their own momentum?
Yes, they tend to take you further and further away from the actual intimacy.
And we can treat it like, I mean, it's not as bad, but liken it to pedophilia.
Let's think of some other just bad habit, like, you know.
Well, I'm thinking of pedophilia because there's a sexual nature to it, which is you can't just label yourself a pedophile and then move forward.
Yeah, right.
You have to go, look, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to try to stick with my wife and not bang any of my nephews for a while.
And lo and behold, by actually... having building intimacy, the need for the fetishes tend to die out.
Yeah, and also you do learn to control whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see what you can do, especially if your girlfriend. Yeah, because girlfriends are freaky about this stuff because they don't like a guy. You know, they want a guy in charge. They want a guy kissing their feet.
Right.
They say they do, but I think it freaks them out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a kid when the parent says. You know, when a parent stops being a parent and starts being their friend and starts saying, like, look, if you want to, you know, not go to school or try cigarettes or something, I guess that's cool. I can't tell you what to do. I think that would freak out a 12-year-old.
Yep.
As much as he or she might say she wants it that way, it would freak him out.
Yep.
And I think women, they're constantly attempting to kick your ass, just like the kid is attempting to gain control over the parent, but... If you just gave up, I think they'd freak out.
They wouldn't like that, yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's why you got to stand up, Drew. Jack?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Spoon man, yes I am.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
I got a Germany or Florida for you.
That's right.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Those are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
Hold on, Jack.
Hold
Jack,
on.
Jack.
Hey, I have a guy. Sorry. What? Yeah?
Hold on.
Is he talking to himself, or is there somebody responding to this?
It's unclear. Jack?
Yeah?
Are you aware that you're on the radio?
What? No.
It sounds like there are two voices.
Yeah, the one that's in his head and the one that's coming out of his mouth.
Maybe three, and the one that was on the other phone with him.
There's also a slightly belligerent side to Jack that transcends confusion.
Well, he's not listening.
He's
angry. Marching on.
Could be bogus. Jack?
Yeah. I got a Germany or Florida.
All right, go.
Okay. In March, a 62-year-old man was ejected from the retirement community he lived in after he punched one 86-year-old resident and bit another 78-year-old resident in a brawl over his apparent habit of foraging a communal salad bar for his favorite kind of lettuce.
Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff happens all the time, Jack.
Yeah.
People in nursing homes have impaired neurologic function, and they will hit and bite and do things. It's part of some homes specialize in caring for behavioral problems.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When a guy's 75 and he's beating up other elderly folks, don't you just take him out behind the woodshed and just put a bullet in
it? They don't know what they're doing. That's the point.
Well, that's my point. They're not going to know what hit him. Let's just put him down. You know what I'm saying? Like an old dog that bit the mailman too many times. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but it's not
Thank
something
you.
That's
Thank you.
But so that could be anywhere. So old people in nursing homes, Florida.
Florida.
It's Florida.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
There we go.
All right. Hey, listen, phone screeners. A couple of the Germany or Floridas are really ones that we could have started calling it Indianapolis or Riverside, like just wherever.
Yeah, they're not the unique
the
unique stories we're used to hearing from Germany or Florida.
That's right. That's what we're looking for. Although I may have stumbled onto a new game.
I think there is a new game there.
So old people will punch each other.
In nursing homes, yeah, the aggressive behaviors are very common. And because they don't know what... Imagine you're in like some sort of bizarre room you've never seen before.
Right.
And there are people you don't know, as far as you know, coming up to you and asking you things you can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they just start going, just defending themselves. They start going crazy.
Really?
I do that all the time, yeah.
Good. It's good they're old. It's bad when you're like, you know, 19.
That's bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are a problem.
You hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Max?
Hey, what's going on?
You're 15?
Yeah, it's me. First off, I love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Drew, my girlfriend wants to read you like no other.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
When did she see this movie?
Yeah, she's really going to love Drew.
Yeah.
Actually, by the way, the film was very good. It really was very cute and very good.
Not very good.
No, very good. It wasn't something I would go see, but my kids loved it.
They did.
Seriously, loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Could you imagine going, what are your kids, 11?
Yeah.
Imagine going to a movie with your dad in it when you're 11?
It'd be weird, wouldn't it? And how about that red carpet thing? That was my mistake. That was my mistake.
What, dragging the kids down the red carpet?
They wanted to do it, but allowing them to bringing them down that thing. Yeah.
My dad got a Sears card when he was like 44, and that was too much for me to comprehend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what a loser. Jesus Christ. All right, go ahead, Max.
All right. So my question is, my mom, when I was born, had an outbreak of herpes, and she had to have a C-section. And, me and my girlfriend are starting to get intimate, and I don't know if I could have been affected by that in any way. Like, I haven't had an outbreak or anything.
No,
you're fine.
That's
why.
That's why they did the C-section, prevent you from being exposed to it. But
so I
pray tell,
be
how
exposed to it at all?
No. How did the conversation come up where you learned this little medical factoid?
Well, I don't know. Like, because we talked about it a couple times, actually, like coming home from the doctors and like just. Things brought up.
No, Max,
no. Nice. You're full of crap.
I don't know. I don't know how it came up.
Max, you made up a good bogus call. It's
no,
good.
No,
just
no, I believe it. I believe it. Okay, listen. I believe Max. The only part of the story is where him and his girlfriend are becoming intimate. Because Max,
what?
I can
what?
Hear, but no, I can hear by the tone of your voice, you got a good
3 years.
Two. I was gonna say 2.5 years before you do any. Wick dipping.
Really?
Yeah, you're a little ways off.
It's all right. Adam?
What do you got? You're a virgin. What are you talking about?
I am a virgin.
Yeah.
But
all right.
We've had oral sex, so.
Really?
Yeah, we have.
Son of a gun. Wow. Well, let me tell you, hang on to this girl with both hands, Max. Because
right.
If she slips through your fingers, it's going to be a long, long, long dry spell for you.
What's up, Max? A lovable guy. He's
cute. I like Max. He's got a good name. All right there, Max.
Yeah, Max, I still want to know how his mom happened to tell him this
First, okay, look at it this way. He's got herpes mom. So he's got a mom that's been around the block a few times.
Yeah, he's 15, so she's probably about, okay.
She might do a little booze and, you know, mom is promiscuous, probably.
At one time,
but mom,
cool.
Mom's free love.
She's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, kids need to know the truth. You don't want this to happen.
Oh, God.
I can't, you know, they get into that, you know, they always talk about, talk to your kids, but I don't know. Don't talk to them. Just give them stuff and show them you like them.
Well, answer their questions. Just let them know they can ask you the questions, the main thing.
Yeah.
That is the main thing. Just let them know you're there to ask anything they want.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know, it's what I'm going to miss most when Friends goes off the air. David Schwimmer and those heartfelt PSAs about talking to your kids.
You need to know.
Yeah, talk to them. Really, Schwimmer? How many kids you got? And by the way, do you play the father of a brood of nine on some long-running sitcom, or are you a single dorky dude on TV and have no children in real life? Could there be a candidate who knew less about children than Schwimmer? You don't have any your own kids, and you don't even play anybody. Here's the rules of TV, by the way. You either have to have the people In real life, you got to have a bunch of kids, or
you got to
do whatever, or you got to play the coach or play the whoever. There's got to be the connection.
Yeah.
You got to be the cop if you're going to be doing the PSA about crime.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a rule of TV.
It's a rule of TV.
It's a universal law.
It doesn't make sense, but we all agreed on it a long time ago.
I signed my agreement.
I just find it exquisitely condescending when Schwimmer's telling you to talk to your kids. He's doing a little work on his laptop. Hey, what? Oh, hi. Hey. Yeah, I thought you needed to know. What were you working on, Schwimmer? Children's book?
Probably.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Andy Richter coming in here tomorrow night.
Andy Richter speaks Chinese in this movie.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. He's an adopted Chinese son.
He's a very talented actor, Andy Richter is. Yes?
He's good. Yeah,
he is. No, I'm not not BSing. He's a good actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could hear engineer Chris grunt in the background. That means he likes him, right? He goes, right? He gave one, like, Chewbacca up.
I loved him on Conan. He was cool.
Yeah. Yep. All right, shut your mic.
I always heard he was a huge guy, though, because Conan was so tall, too. Because I thought they were both, like, big, tall guys.
Well, see, I thought it was just the opposite, which is Conan is so tall. Conan's like 6'6", and so Richter always looked like this guy was like, you know, fat midget next to him because Conan is so tall and thin, and everyone was surprised that Richter was 6 foot or whatever he was. And by the way, that's something you don't want to do. If any of you take a TV gig, don't take it next to a guy who's 6'6 and super skinny, because you could be 6'3 and have a medium build and you're going to look short and fat.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yep.
All right.
Unless you can be sitting the whole time.
Yes.
Then you'd both be considered short.
But Richter looked like, you know, Humpty Dumpty on that show. And, well, you just worked with him. He's 6 foot.
Plus, 5'10", 11", something like that.
He's a regular size guy. He's not small.
He's not small. Not small.
Uh-oh. All right. Eating disorder?
No.
No, not at all. All right. So, by the way, driving in tonight, saw something that I don't think in terms of vigilante justice very often, but every once in a while I do think about running over a guy on a motorcycle, and I'll tell you who the guy is. It's the guy with the bought the cop bike at the police auction.
Oh, yeah.
Fine. All right. Buy the cop bike at the police auction. Fine. But the cop helmet? At what point, what do you want to do? You want to get the badge, too? What else do you need?
And they wear the black leathers.
You wear the black leather jacket, the two-tone black and white LAPD cop helmet, and you're riding the cop bike. Oh, yeah, I knew you weren't a cop. Yeah, look, I got to get up. I have to actually sniff you to find out you're not a cop. You've been in my goddamn rearview mirror for the last 28 off-ramps? Going 53? You pussies. Kill yourselves, you spineless pussies. And by the way, should they sell the helmet and the bike and the whole package?
Well, here's the question. At what point is impersonating an officer that?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's what he's doing.
They're not a human being. It's not driving a car that doesn't you come up on them in their rear view and freak out.
Do you actually have to say I'm an officer to impersonate an officer? Or can we just assume the way
you spot a cop every night on the way home, you freak out.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw one of these a-holes on the freeway once just doing 53 and holding everyone up. Everyone was scared to move. It was at night. No one could tell. He was sort of holding back about 80 feet. You could tell everyone saw him in their rear view. No one wanted to do anything because it's like, I'm pretty sure. And by the way, if you think it's a cop, you know, once in a while you get one of those funeral cops back there, or even the weird school cops or whatever. There's a whole myriad of bizarre things that look close to cop cars.
Yeah.
You're not going to move. You're going to wait. You're going to wait and be absolutely sure it's not an actual cop. Ugh, you guys, you pussies, something's wrong with you. That's a serious personality disorder.
I agree.
You should just kill yourself. Just please put a bullet in your head. I know you're already close to it because you're driving a cop bike that you got at the auction. You got the helmet. There's something wrong with you already. There's already a steep personality disorder. Please just finish your job and put a bullet in your mouth. As a matter of fact, go get that cop gun and put it in your mouth. Get that at the auction, would you, you pussies? Oh, my God, I know they know what they're doing, Drew. And why would you go 53? I hate you. Idiots. Oh, what kind of horrible demon would do this? I tell you, if I had a friend who pulled up on one of those cop bikes with that helmet, I'd take a bat to his ass.
You wouldn't even run to get the bat. You'd just tackle him right there. Just lay him out.
Oh, my God.
Scarlett?
Hello?
Hey.
What's happening, baby doll?
Hey. Okay, I have a problem.
Germany or Florida?
Shower fetish.
Florida.
And you guys have been talking about fetishes, like, a lot. So I decided to call in, and it's affecting my relationship with my boyfriend.
Right.
Because he's not, he's totally disgusted by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what do you want him to do? I mean,
we've talked about it before, and
No. I don't care what you talked about. What do you want him to do?
Or what do you want to do to him, or what do you want him to do to you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, he could urinate on me, or I could do it on him. It doesn't matter, but what do you mean it doesn't
matter?
Well, hang on. Hey, let's step one step further back. Scarlett, this is not a fetish we know much about or understand, so we're going to want to sort of thump you a little bit like a melon here.
Okay.
And try to understand how this works for you, what this is, right? Wouldn't you agree?
You listening to me? Yeah.
Yeah,
all right, quiet. Scarlett.
Yes.
Just answer my questions. What is it, if you could do anything you wanted or have anything you wanted done to you, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I like to be urinated on.
So. Okay. So that's your thing.
And do you know where this came from? Or what?
We could hang, by the way, Scarlett.
No, I really don't know where this came from. It started when I was 14. I always just had a weird fascination with urination. I don't know why.
Uh-huh. And so when you say urinated on, in the shower, or you could be...
No, in the shower, yeah.
In the shower. Now, in the shower because it'd be too gross or cross the line or something if you were...
In bed?
Well,
in
no,
bed,
it's or? Not gross for me. It's just, the bed, then you'd have to change the sheets and everything.
Right. Just convenience.
Yeah, you're pragmatic.
Right.
You're bizarre deviant, but you're pragmatic.
Now,
I like that.
What is the feeling associated with this? What does it do for you?
It's warm and it'll sting your eyes.
But what does it evoke? Does it evoke anything specific?
Well, I get aroused when,
But can you, what kind of images come to mind with it? What does it make you feel or think of?
It's really hard to explain. It's just something that comes naturally for me.
I tell you, Scarlett, first off, no one knows more about this than me.
Because
I have been whizzed on.
6,000.
I'll give you a conservative number.
Okay.
I'll give you a conservative number. I've been whizzed on 85 times.
Really?
That's conservative. Conservative.
Scarlett, watch this. How many times by a woman?
No. Oh. Never buy.
Okay.
Never buy. Wait, these were all dudes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Charlotte, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's impressive, man.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain how that happened?
I used to get in urine fights with my buddies in high school.
And you wouldn't be, like, in the bathroom when you'd have these fights.
Sometimes we would, depending
on. But generally.
Between third and fourth period.
Yeah.
We could be at a diner. We could be at a party.
In the car.
We could be in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever the whiz was.
We was.
Where the whiz was, we was. We had silk jackets that said that on the back in old English lettering.
Whoever was.
Yeah.
Whoever whiz there was.
Yeah. It was good times. So anyway. I did some whizzing myself, Scarlett. I'm not going to lie to you.
Scarlett, they had a fancy name for it, too, back in high school, these gentlemen.
It was called brewing. Yeah, and I had buddies that could get you from up to 18 to 20 feet away. Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it's not as though it was a stream that they then pointed your direction.
It kind of was.
Well, no, they would.
Well, you get a salvo.
Yeah.
It was like a burst, from a machine gun. Yeah, it was tough.
Wow.
Here's the point.
Chris is impressed. He's never heard about this. He's in it.
Oh, yeah. Brewing. Oh, boy.
Never.
So it was good times.
My favorite is when Chris, driving a car, got you in the back seat.
Well, he whizzed on me while I was driving.
Oh, you were driving. And he was in the back seat? Or
no, he was in the passenger seat. He started whizzing on me.
Just from without moving or just while in the seated position.
In the seated position.
Just pow, right up at you.
Yeah, he could shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we were driving my dad's car. Not an ounce of carpet or fabric in the car. It was all vinyl seats and vinyl floor mats, vinyl headliner, vinyl door panels.
So you think your dad's kind of a genius.
No, it was good because I was holding a large root beer, which I threw on him to defend myself because he was whizzing on me. And then he took his large root beer, too, which I didn't think was fair, and threw it all over me. So in the course of, you know, about three-quarters of a mile, we had emptied two large root beers in his bladder on the interior of my dad's car. Thank God we just hosed it out. Yeah, took a hose to it.
Okay, so you really can't, you can't evoke any images or any feelings. We can't understand this anymore. It's just something that's it's arousing.
But did anything happen to you? Like, a, I don't know, cat take a whiz on you when you're a kid or something?
I don't think so. It's just one day, when I was 14, I had this weird idea. I'm like, well, would I puke if I ate my, if I drank my urine? And I tried it, and I liked it.
I rarely, hold on a second.
We got the two Chewbaccas from Chris.
Ooh. I rarely say this regarding matters of urine, but yuck. And by the way, when I say yuck, and the man has been urinated on.
That's a big deal.
Almost 100 times.
That's a big deal.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, I've been bored too.
Not thought about drinking my urine.
No, I thought about it, but.
You thought about it?
No.
No, I've never thought about that.
No.
So, Scarlett, what was your upbringing like?
Well, my mom's really cool, so she's really, really cool.
What does that mean?
She doesn't, I've told her about it, so.
Yeah, that to me doesn't speak cool. If she didn't sweep you up and take you to a doctor immediately, that's
no,
not
she,
being
she
cool.
She understands it. She just, I mean, she, it's not something she's into herself, but she can understand it.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
again,
right.
Not being cool.
Yeah, that means.
That's stupid, not cool.
That's like
and I don't
stupid
have, I didn't
or high.
Father,
or,
so.
You don't have a father?
No.
Shocking.
I can't believe it. What happened to your father?
He got out of the picture as soon as my mom got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Have you had any other men around, and have they ever done anything funky with you?
Not really, no.
What do you mean, not really?
Well, I mean, my mom's dated, but nothing really. And no, I wasn't abused by any of her boyfriends, if you're thinking that.
How much of your own urine did you consume?
Well, I just put a little bit in a cup. Not that much, actually.
Do you ever get into vampire stuff, anything like that?
No.
No, just the urine. Oh, how dare I?
Believe that'd be a step up. It'd be a step in the right direction if you started sucking blood.
I only did that once, though, and then started doing it, you know, sexually.
Okay. And,
I'm trying to figure this all out. It's not all, the map is not. Are you getting kind of chaotic relationship with guys?
Well, I mean, I'm dating someone, and I really, really like him a lot, and I would hate for this to ruin our relationship.
All right. Why don't you try to keep it under wraps then?
I know,
it's just really hard.
I know, but there's a lot of things that are difficult when you're 16.
Yeah.
And this is just going to be one of them.
If it's going to destroy this relationship or break it apart, it shouldn't be that hard. If the relationship in reality, if you truly value it that much, if on the other hand you need to sabotage the relationship, well, you've got the ready-made solution right there.
Yeah.
PH is a little funky, but...
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
A whiz in the sink. A whiz out the window of my house, too, a lot.
Yeah, you sort of screwed up that whole area in your backyard there.
The gardeners aren't complaining. What am I going to do? I'm watching
TV. Did he know why the plants were dying?
He
figured it out.
It smelled a little weird.
How did that conversation go?
It's uncomfortable. Been drinking a glass of wine and watching a little TiVo. And take a leak out the window.
No, I want to hear about the gardener conversation.
His English is bad, so
he goes, Jefe?
Yes. Yes. Senior Brewmeister. look, we got to take a break, Drew. Enough about my urine problems. Yes?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Enough for now.
I'm done.
All right.
We'll be right back after this. Loveline. Thank you. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LV-191. Yeah. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
You ready to rock?
Yeah.
All right. Sex hurts because of endometriosis. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Stephanie?
Yes?
You're 20?
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with her.
Okay, I have endometriosis.
Yeah.
And I just had surgery for it on the 19th of March. And sex is really, really painful. I was wondering if there was anything that I could do to make it less painful.
All right. Did you have a laparoscopy? What kind of surgery did you have?
The lap.
Laparoscope.
Yeah.
And was sex painful before the surgery?
Oh, yeah. I just moved here, 2 years ago.
Stay with me. Stay with me. Was the sex painful before the surgery?
Yes, very.
Has it changed any since the surgery?
No.
And is the pain at deep penetration or at the time of penetration? When, what point is there pain? Or from the moment things start?
Well, it started when I was 18, and I was diagnosed with PID twice, and that didn't help it. And
Stephanie.
Yeah.
At what point in intercourse is it painful? At the point of penetration, or when it's deeper inside, or once it gets going? What point does it start to hurt?
As soon as my husband gets halfway in me.
Okay. So that's probably not the endometriosis causing the pain, frankly. Were you sexually abused growing up?
Excuse me?
Did you have any sexual abuse, anything like that growing up?
I can't hear you. My phone's messing up.
Were you, Stephanie?
Yes.
Were you sexually abused?
Yes.
Growing up?
Yes.
Yeah. That's where this pain is coming from. Chronic pelvic pain of unexplained origin, particularly the quality you're describing, is very common in women that have sexual abuse history.
All right.
She's gone now.
Well, the phone's all over the place. Yeah. But Drew sees endometriosis.
Endometriosis is a very discreet condition that is treatable, but that's not what... That doesn't cause...
What do you mean discreet?
Meaning it has a specific presentation, it has a specific appearance, and a specific response to treatment. It's not some vague thing that seems to always be affecting me.
Yeah.
As soon as people start going down that path, it becomes pelvic pain with intercourse of sort of unexplained origin, of which endometriosis is part of it. Sexual abuse smells, and I could smell sexual abuse the moment she started talking.
Yeah. Well, no, you could smell sexual abuse, A, because I farted.
No. And remember I went, uh-oh, as soon as she talked?
I know you said, uh-oh, because you saw endometriosis, which gives you the pre-existing uh-oh. I mean, it gives you a little pre-uh-oh momentum, that's all.
Yeah.
And because she really, her voice, she didn't have the little girl voice. She did have sort of the different kind of...
she had that, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
No, she had the hostile, sort of calculated.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I don't know how, from doing the show and just hearing people over and over, that's about the only way we can figure it out. But sexual abuse presents itself in the sort of little girl stripper voice.
One
which
way.
Is when it's not treated, usually.
And then profound, too.
And profound. Yeah. And then eventually evolves into a sort of controlling, slightly calculated, a little bit angry, and never giving you what you want.
Yes.
You can be as concise and clear as you want. The answer will always be just a little bit. Everything is unsatisfying.
Yes.
Every exchange you walk away with feeling like that's not exactly.
And you heard me say it to her. She wasn't tracking. Remember I said that? She wasn't tracking. Well, not that she wasn't tracking. Is that she was giving me the wrong.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't answer my questions. Wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, but she was upfront about the sexual abuse. I don't know if she's there or not anymore. Stephanie?
Yes.
All right. So have you got any therapy for the abuse?
Well, I'm seeing a therapist right now.
That's good. And you may want to, talk to her about this or him about this. And
doctor suggested that I go see one. He noticed it whenever I had my appointment with him to get a pelvic exam. He said I nearly jumped off the table. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, so you're dissociating too and stuff. So that's bad. That's main serious trauma.
All right, but your husband's a decent guy?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. All right, I had the phone dropped off.
Yeah, we can't hear him.
All right, stick with the therapy.
Yeah, it's good. Take a little while.
Should they do the operation for the endometriosis?
The doctor's obviously going down the right path. They did what they could, and then he said, okay, we've done the endometriosis thing. You're still having pain. Now you got to go see a therapist. Dude, stop blaming the endometriosis, Stephanie. That's the point. Stop it.
I'm asking, should the doctors even do the procedure?
If there's endometriosis, yeah, you should. See, the hard thing about people with mental health issues is you don't want to ignore the health, the physical problems, because it's hard to interpret them. They don't present them the way normal people do, but you don't want to ignore them just because they're also mental health. In fact, you want to be fastidious about making sure those things aren't there.
Right.
So you can't, you know, miss anything. You can't be, you know, they can't blame their symptoms on that.
Lynn?
Yes.
You're 25?
Mm-hmm.
Your baby was given methadone and Valium?
Okay.
Hold on. We got to take a break. But is this true?
Yeah. Well, it's because she was hospitalized.
Okay. Hold on. All right. Yeah. Sound like someone who needed a little methadone and Valium her own self.
We'll find out.
I might get some of that Valium myself.
Yeah. No chance.
Let's do that.
No.
We'll take a quick break. Yeah, during the break. Let's score. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Trying to get my drawstring through my sweatpants.
What are you doing there?
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. It's slow going.
You got to get the hanger out and push it through.
Oh, I thought you did it with a safety pin or something.
Hanger.
But can't you inch it a little bit at a time?
Yeah, it'll take you about 3 weeks.
And I'm going to work on this. So forgive me. I'm going to be distracted for the next show and a half while I attempt to get my drawstring through my sweatpants here. All right, Drew, let's go now. We're at the halfway point. Let's break it down now. Let's get a hand in. Break it down. Come on, gather around now. Grab a knee. Your helmet's not a chair, gentlemen. Yeah. Brian. Oh, yeah. Phone screener Brian does a little JV football coaching. He knows how to break it down. All right, let's go. Let's get started now. Don't, it's not a chair. The helmet is not a chair, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. Come on, ladies. That's right.
I don't think people are hearing that. You say that.
Oh, people not hearing that. Yeah. If Brian reminds me that if the helmet hits the ground, your head better be in it. Because it's not a chair. And by the way, that chair, not a helmet. No one ever tells you that. It's not like you're sitting around in science class and the teacher's like, hey, son, that chair?
Not a helmet.
It's not a helmet.
Nope.
No. I mean, if they're, you know, it only stands to reason. If they're going to tell you the helmet's not a chair. All right, let's go. Let's talk to Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? Break it down now. Let's go.
All righty. Well.
All right. So what happened? You had a young child. How old was the child?
She's now two.
When how old was she?
24 months now. Let's go.
How old was she when she was sick?
She was 9 months.
And what was the problem?
9 months, beginning of life.
She was hospitalized for MRSA pneumonia, intubated.
Yeah.
And while she was on the respirator, she was given fentanyl and Versed.
She had Versed and what?
She's given some drugs. She's being intubated now.
Methadone and Versed?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl and Versed.
Fentanyl! Nine months age! As many months out as she was in. Let's go now!
She should be fine. I don't know of any evidence that suggests... In fact, even when babies are exposed to methadone in utero, like when they're still in the uterus, or even opiates, I know of no evidence that they're at added risk of opiate addiction later in life.
Okay, so my question is this something we're going to have to worry about later on in life?
I mean, it's a reasonable thing that people are trying to study these sorts of things, because one of the things that happens from opiates and benzodiazepines like Versed is that addicts' brains change in response to these drugs. They change in ways that are permanent.
Incubator's not a chair, gentlemen. It's kind of a bed with a bubble on it.
But I don't know of any evidence that it changes that early in life after limited periods of exposure. So I think you're all right, okay?
All right.
Well, and by the way.
Break it down.
And by the way, is you or your husband an addict or alcoholic?
No.
Okay, so you have to have the gene.
Well, there's genetic history, but
where
I think we'll be.
Who's got the history?
Family members have been alcoholics. So.
Yours?
Dad's a junkie. All right, now.
And you're not an alcoholic?
No.
All right. If you don't have the gene, you can't pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right on.
All right. All right. Break it down. Get a hand in. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Why would they give the kid the methadone?
They didn't. Fentanyl. No.
Fentanyl.
It's a synthetic opiate.
What for?
For the pain of being intubated.
Now, is that what they put the tube down your nose?
Yeah, or in your mouth.
In your lung?
Yeah.
Try to get the water out of there? Try to get the fluid out of your lung?
No, breathe. That's a mechanical, respirators.
It's painful?
It's breathing on behalf. A child can't be dead without a respirator that supports their breathing.
Yeah, plain God.
Yeah.
So,
and said puts you asleep, basically.
Well, this kid had pneumonia.
MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. Bad times.
Real doctor, just a love doctor.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
All right. Could orgasm with all 75 previous partners.
75.
And?
Yeah.
Uncle Frank, 500 women.
So he
500.
Says.
500.
I think
what's
it's more
that?
Than 600.
600.
And?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I'm having a problem with my current relationship. I've been with this guy for 3 months, and I absolutely love him. I think he's the most wonderful thing in the world, and I'm having a problem. Everything is great except for our sex life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had, more than my fair share, I should say, that of sexual partners.
Mm-hmm. 75, it says here.
What? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they already told you that then.
Were you sexually addicted or compulsed or something? Or was something
going on? I was in therapy for a while for sexual addiction.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I were to put the puzzle together here, okay?
Okay.
One of the things that starts to happen when people are sexually compulsed is that they, particularly women in my experience, will have a piece of themselves sort of split off, a piece of themselves they feel sort of bad and
right.
sort of dirty. And they can only experience that part of themselves when they're with bad guys in these sort of sexual encounters. And they can function well sexually in those circumstances. But when they're with a good guy, they feel split off from that bad self and are ambivalent and can't mm-hmm. really function sexually. They can't be sexual with a good guy. Is that sort of how you're feeling?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
yeah.
The men that I've been with in the past, I mean, my father was just astounded that he didn't have any tattoos or piercings or anything. And
right. So he's not a bad guy. The bad guys
no.
are the ones you can...
No, he's absolutely
so you got to withhold from the good guy. And then right. and that you'll eventually start feeling resentful because that bad self won't have a chance to emerge. So you have to find a way to integrate these things and experience the total and with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it also suggests some pretty heavy trauma growing up. So something happened there. You need to be.
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, I kind of already knew that.
What happened?
When I was young, my dad left and didn't know how to be a father or didn't want to be a father, basically. But my mom married a man who had his own idea of perfection.
Hmm?
The hell does that mean?
Meaning sort of that my mom is very beautiful, as is my sister and myself. You know, we're all a very attractive family, and he was very concerned with sort of having the trophy wife and the trophy daughters. And about a year ago, he decided that he sat my mom down and said, you know, I love you, but I don't want to be married anymore. Went out and got himself a 30-year-old girlfriend. Mind you, I'm 25. My sister's 27. And sort of has now become this executive playboy, if you will.
Look, that's not about... That has nothing to do with perfection. That is the fact that he does not have relationships with women. They are merely objects for him to sort of act out upon.
Right.
Much
discussion of narcissistic
hold on.
All right.
Yes, he's narcissistic for sure. Okay. For sure. He's narcissistic.
What do we get the current story about stepdad running off with his secretary when she's 25. She's already been through 75 patsies at this point. We want to know something about when she was 9,
it's just all there.
All right, look, get some therapy.
She's doing that.
And stick it out with this guy.
And understand that bad self needs to be integrated. You need to present the bad self to your present partner. He will accept it. He'll be fine with it.
That
part of her that feels bad and dirty, she needs to share with her new partner. He'll love it. He'll be fine with it.
To the tune of 75 guys?
Not the history, but that part of herself.
Okay, but... The
history, not necessarily.
Yeah, but you're just one more skin of the onion away from the 75 dudes.
No.
Once we start...
No, just that self needs to emerge. It's good. And? Be good. And? It's the self that orgasms. The guy will be happy.
Does the guy know about all the other guys?
No, I don't think that's something that he would want to or should know.
Fine. No, that's fine.
That's good. Good. You always lie about that.
Don't lie, but you, but maybe a little more mystery.
What do I do about our current sex life, though? I mean, when we
you
were
got,
together,
you,
he
you...
would last longer, and now he doesn't. And he used to perform oral sex more often, and now he just wants to have sex. And I don't really know sort of how. Yeah.
He's just sliding into his comfort zone.
No, I think it's also his head spinning. He doesn't know what to think here. He's all over the place.
Right.
Look, Ann, work hard in your therapy. Think about that part of yourself that you feel is dirty and will be rejected by him, presenting that to him. Mm-hmm. Present that to him and see what happens. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine. He'll stop being so confused.
Mm-hmm.
So it's his problem. He's like, I hear oral sex, something happens, I have sex. Hell with it, let's just have sex. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He can't seem to get his groove here.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
We just talked.
Six is good.
Six?
Yeah.
All right. James?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's up?
Well, basically, my girlfriend and I have two other roommates, and whenever she and I have sex, we like them to watch, or we like somebody to watch. Mm-hmm. And we generally only have sex if there's somebody watching.
Mm-hmm. And whose idea was this initially?
Initially, it was my idea because my ex and I sort of like to do it in public places where people could see. And I've kind of always wanted to do it where people did see.
Yeah.
And,
well, now, hold on a second. What, first off, when you say see, you mean just sitting on the sofa with their legs crossed, or do you want them sort of peeking around the corner?
No, basically just sitting, like, on a chair, anything where we're the display and they're watching.
Are they allowed to talk?
No, generally I'd like them to sit there and shut up, basically.
Because my thing would be like, come on, get a dork in. Let's go now. Break it down.
I don't know. That might kill
not a chair.
Her face is not a chair, gentlemen. All right. Yeah, so what's the question?
Well, I was wondering why. Like, that's the only time we ever really have sex is when someone's watching. Otherwise, it's kind of, you know, boring or we just don't.
And your girlfriend is okay with this, by the way?
Oh, yeah, she's really okay with it. She's actually pretty cool about it.
Well, here's what it means to me. And again, this can mean a lot of different things. But more often than not, this means that you need high levels of arousal in order to feel sexual.
Mm-hmm.
So opiate addicts, or marijuana addicts even sometimes, when they're off their drug but not in recovery, mm-hmm. will do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Physical abuse survivors will do this kind of thing because the arousal centers get kind of burned out. They get mm-hmm. sort of diminished by physical abuse and by drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to feel the arousal, you have to create these extra situations. And so mm-hmm. that's one of those two things.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. You know, to me, I had roommates that got laid every once in a while.
Yeah, but you'd be the watching one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Would you pee on them?
You know, only if they didn't perform up to my level.
And by the way, people who haven't been listening for an hour would wonder where that came from.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. Well, that's why I got to listen to the whole show. I'd hear them going at it in the living room every once in a while and just come down the hall and peek my head around the corner. Yeah. But I'd be uncomfortable. I think they just asked me to sit down and take notes. It'd be weird. You know, I don't mind the fly on the wall kind of thing, but when you just honker down in between the two of them, they're going at it.
Well, the honker would be the critical problem in all this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I had a roommate that got a lot of action. You know, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
This one bedroom apartment. You know, 20 years old. We had the it had a Murphy bed where it was a sofa that folded out. And by the way, let me say this to anyone who manufactures sofas that fold out into beds, because I happened to purchase one a few years back, and the only problem with it is the giant steel arched bar that goes through the center of it. It's not enough that it just technically folds out in a bed. You have to be able to sleep on the goddamn thing. I mean, some of those fold out sofas, really, it's like pieces of metal and stuff that are going through the thing.
Yeah.
Plus, the sofa weighs as much as like Ironside.
The mattress is always the size of a wafer.
Like someone put a tortilla on a bear trap and told you to go to bed. But anyway, the one at my house is comical because it literally has a bowed bar that just goes down the center of the thing with the tortilla thickness mattress over the top. But anyway.
Tortilla on a bear trap.
Yeah, what you end up doing is just pull the mattress off, put it on the floor, and then, okay, but it took you 45 minutes to unfold the thing. Here's what I'm saying. One of the legs on the fold-out sofa that, you know, they fold down and those two legs sort of fold out and go down.
Yes.
It didn't sit right. It was like 3 inches above.
Always they move.
So this guy get a little head of steam going. It was like somebody was taking a mop handle and banging it on the floor.
Let you know it's time.
The guy underneath us, Al.
Uh-oh.
He always knew what was happening in there. You'd hear that. Yeah, the dinner bell was ringing. Yeah, me and Louise head out in the hall, see what was going on.
Sheesh.
Sure, why not? Remember one time old Al, who lived beneath us, it was just one of these creepy, weird dudes that you seem to run into when you're young, and now if you saw him, you just go to the other side of the street.
Yeah,
but
you're stuck with him when you're
weird
young.
Guy with the weird dog and the windbreaker, sat out there with the beer koozie and the Coors watering the lawn every day.
Yeah.
And had the, I like the guy, by the way, who has the 50 cent Coors foam beer koozie that he's had for 22 years. I mean, you could see the guy's fingerprints carved out of the sink. You know, you could barely read what kind of beer it was. It was cheap. It was like a 50 cent item that he ain't parting with. That's a class move.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy, weird dude. Anyway, he once he showed up one day at the door with a box filled with the dildos and butt plugs and crazy stuff. I mean, big novelty stuff with cranks on it. Big spade butt-shaped butt plugs. And just a big box. It's a bounty of butt plugs.
And
we're like, what's up, Al? And he's like, neighbor from down the hall moved out and turned out and left all this stuff behind. So thought you kids might...
Oh, my God. That is very funny.
Yeah, and he's also one of these dudes, too, would always do this one. Hey, listen, I know you got a lot of girls, a lot of pretty young girls going up to the apartment. Send one down my way. I always like that one. Send one down. Yeah, like some super smoking hot 19-year-old from Encino. Hey, Tammy. Yeah. Yeah, I know our 62-year-old chain-smoking weirdo underneath us is wearing the pomade. With the blue windbreaker and the mangy dog. Why don't you go down there and F him? Yeah. I told him I'd send you down. Give him some oral, maybe. Weirdo, dude. What's everyone a weirdo for? Kept the hose. He was the manager. He got to be managed, you know, so he probably had his rent cut in half, but he policed the place, you know, and he would just sit around with his skipper and his dog, Skipper, and he had his prized possession was the 100-foot hose on the PVC rack that rolled up. You know, he kept that inside of his house, kept it in his, I want to borrow it one day to hose off the porch. He wouldn't lend it to me.
Oh, my God.
Been living above the guy for 3 years. Like, no, I'll do it. All right, I'll just go ahead and I'll take it. I don't think so. Then one day Skipper died. His dog died.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. And Al had to have a little heart-to-heart with me. Oh, yeah.
About Skipper?
About Skipper.
Did you kill him?
I didn't kill Skipper. I want to kill myself 10 minutes into Al's, beer-fueled. You know, the guy doesn't talk to you for 3 years, and then he's got to open up. Carried a gun. I should borrow that gun to kill myself.
You should have done that a long time ago.
Weirdo. Oh, my God. Carried tucked into his pants.
All the time.
Yeah. So he's just patrolling. He'd show it to me.
Ugh.
It's one of these weird loner dudes, you know, and his son used to come over, and his son, like, wore the windbreaker and had the same glasses, like an SNL sketch.
Wow.
You know, like the junior version of him.
Yeah. Okay.
Maureen, I'm having a flashback. Maureen?
Mm-hmm.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
You know, in the morning, I wake up, I say hi to my husband and my kids and stuff.
Slow down throughout the day,
I give them subtle hints that, you know, I want to make love to him that night. And then, all throughout the day. And then all of a sudden at 9 o'clock, he's out.
Is he getting up early in the morning?
Hmm?
Is he getting up very early in the morning?
I do, but he doesn't.
What time does he get up?
Hmm?
What time does he get up?
Oh, 7, 7.30, sometimes 8 o'clock.
So why is he so tired at 9?
I don't know.
No reason. He's not getting drunk or something? Or
Hold on. Newsflash, 7, 7.30? That's getting up in the morning, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you may not be milking the cows at sunrise, but getting up at 7, 7.30, I don't consider that, it's not really sleeping in, is it?
No, but it's also not, you know, you still could hang out till 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And
if I took 4 naps. Maureen?
Yeah.
So what's wrong with you? You're 21, you're calling from Bakersfield, there's trouble. He's a radio DJ. How old's your husband?
That had to be asked. 42.
42.
Mm-hmm. He's
twice your age. And how often does he want sex?
The thing is, he never asked me.
Well, because you're always at him about it, but how often do you think he'd want it?
Well, beats me.
Oh, well, that gives me a very clear answer what's going on.
Maureen just sounds like albino trash, just super white trash. Here's the thing, too, by the way, husbands and wives. One person becomes the chicken and the other becomes the chicken hawk, and that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Don't expect the chicken to ask. The chicken just sort of on the run from the chicken hawk. It's a strange thing, but this is what happens.
Because the one is always good to go, and the other one is stepping up beyond their comfort zone to try to meet up with the chicken hawk.
But Even just sort of emotionally, psychologically, or
dynamically,
it's just one person becomes the person that
the
wants
pursuer,
sex, and the other person is the person that sort of puts them off, and then they both get into the role.
Yeah.
And the person that wants sex probably wants sex more than they normally would have wanted sex because they're sort of, that's the role, and the person that's sort of not wanting sex at a certain point is turning them away, and they don't even know why. It's just like, oh, here you come again.
Yeah.
So it's almost they take that role. And I think certainly when the woman becomes the aggressor, this is one thing that happens. But I think it happens with women, too. So this guy's probably, plus he's 42.
Could be slowed down a bit.
Starting to slow it down a little. A man of Drew's exquisite passion couldn't understand that. But at age 42, he's whining in a little, whining it up. And Maureen sounds nutty. Maureen?
What?
He's not drinking at night and going to bed drunk or something like that?
No.
And why don't you go to bed with him since you know he's going to go to bed around 9 o'clock? Why don't you get the kids in bed early and plan for that?
Because I have a lot of work to do after the kids go to bed.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
2.
All right. Why don't you plan for him going to bed early? You plan with him. You get up extra early and do your work in the morning.
Okay.
Oh, I'd hate to.
No, just go do whatever you want. Just
well, no, it sounds impossible because I have a very strange life.
What's your life?
I wake up at about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Why?
In the morning.
Why?
Because if the kids are asleep, I can clean the house and get things done. If they're not,
I thought you'd get stuff done at night.
Well, that's the thing. After the kids go to sleep, that's when I try to get my work done. But if it's not done, then I have to get up early.
Okay, why don't you not do it at night and do it in the morning?
Listen, idiot, you just said you got up at 4:30. It's the only time you could get your stuff done. And then you just went ahead and said, well, you got to get the kids to bed because the only time you can get anything done is at night.
It depends on how early they wake up because, see, one is only a year old and he wakes up about, 5 o'clock.
And how much cleaning you got to do? Because I ain't picturing more than 1,400 square feet.
It's smaller than that, and we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
The thing is, I'm very disorganized, so I'm having a real hard time getting organized, because every second I gotta take care of the kids, or something's going on.
Sound depressed.
Yeah, you really sound depressed.
So you're depressed, you're overwhelmed.
I'm very depressed. I haven't had...
It's not about the sex. No, it's not about the sex. No.
Hmm?
It's not about the sex.
I'm sure you guessed that.
What?
I now know that you guessed that. I am depressed.
I don't know. Well, yeah, look, Maureen, how about, can you get some therapy or something?
Treat your depression, treat it.
Yeah, because you don't want, the kids don't want to be around depressed.
Yeah, that will affect your kids, you being depressed and angry.
I know, but I can't afford therapy.
No, not therapy. How about some, you may be a medication candidate. I mean, something pretty simple here.
Well, what's your husband do?
Well, mostly nothing. I mean, he does little things here and there.
I don't know what to say. Look, all you idiots, stop cranking out kids with old guys and...
Mostly nothing. Who supports the family?
He's got to get up... I don't know.
Yeah, it really sounds chaos.
But listen...
It's like, this is more like social services that you get involved
here. People are like, they're almost hell-bent on their life not working out.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break, but... Okay. Hey, look, what? I don't know what to do. Then do nothing. Do nothing. All right. I'm going to yell at Maureen. All right.
We'll get back. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, man. That's Dr. G over there. Yeah. Andy Richter in here tomorrow night, along with Jack Black. Jack Osborne. Just thinking about Jack Black because I saw his latest movie reviewed, and I thought, that guy makes like 7.5 movies a year.
How'd the latest one get reviewed?
They didn't like it, but where he stars in them.
I know.
I mean, Jeremy Piven makes 13 movies a year, but he plays the evil Dean.
Jack Black's been doing a lot.
Yeah. We met Jack back when he was just a everyday slob.
And we treated him just like that.
Jack Black was like what you would think Jack Black would really be like.
Except he's changed a lot. When he was up here the other day, he was much more social.
Yeah, he was much more antisocial when he wasn't a celebrity.
Yeah.
Hadn't shaved in a couple of weeks and was wearing like a cutoff sweatshirt at a nice restaurant. Yeah. And we were like, who is this weird dude? And we ate dinner. We had dinner with him.
Didn't speak to him.
No. See?
You got to treat everybody with compassion
and
respect.
Jack Black lives... 6 houses from me.
That's weird.
Yeah. Keep saying I'm going to swing by.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Finish with Maureen, will you?
Oh, yeah, Maureen. All right, I'm going to be fast. Maureen?
Yeah.
All right, stop having kids, number one. No more goddamn kids. Number two, forget about your husband for now. Stop focusing on sex. Focus on your depression. Stop listening to that crappy country music. Start listening to some classical music and start going for some walks.
I don't listen to country music.
What do you listen to?
I listen to rock music.
What kind?
Usually alternative rock.
All right. That's going to screw your head up, too. Now, here's the thing. You're 21, so you should be listening to alternative rock. On the other hand, you got 2 kids, so you shouldn't be. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're chronologically the right age for the alternative, but you've popped out the 2 kids. Listen to some classical music. It'll make you smarter.
And do get the depression treated.
Okay. So
you can't afford it. It does not make sense at all. There's county facilities. Go get it taken care of. It's very simple.
Yeah.
And then some of these other issues may not be so important. You're very focused on the sex being the solution now. And certainly the intimacy is really what you're missing, and your husband's not available for that for some reason. You may be repelling him with your anger and your...
She's angry and depressed, and he's like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Sunny.
Hi.
What's happening, girl? You're 15.
Yeah. I just wanted to say I love you both. Adam, you're so funny, and Dr. Drew, you're brilliant.
Thank you.
My question is, do cigarettes help you lose weight?
Mm-hmm.
At 15, you're contemplating smoking in order to lose weight, right?
Well, a year ago, I was diagnosed with anorexia.
Yeah, that's what I would say, that if somebody was going to take up a life-shortening habit... in order to control weight, is an eating disorder.
I'll tell you, I don't know if cigarette smoking per se is bad for you, but I do know that secondhand smoke is a first-rate killer. Because, Drew...
It's worse than
smoking. Yeah, because you take in 200 or 300 different kinds of carcinogens every time you...
I don't smoke them now. Like, I've tried them, like, twice, but I was... Mm-hmm. Wondering.
I refuse to answer your question. You've got to get your eating disorder dealt with. How much do you weigh now?
Like 103.
How tall are you?
5 feet.
Yeah, I mean, you're underweight now, right?
Underweight?
Yeah. Underweight.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but...
Yeah, I know. You have an eating disorder.
That's the problem.
You have a perceptual problem. You see yourself as overweight even when you're underweight.
You can't listen to you.
That's exactly right. You cannot listen to you. You need this eating disorder treated. But people die of eating disorders, Sonny. It's very common.
Mm-hmm.
Does nicotine?
I'm not going to answer that. That's ridiculous.
Well, and listen, here's the whole thing about cigarettes. There's plenty of fat guys who smoke, by the way. Plenty of fat guys who smoke. And by the way, you'll figure out, cigarettes themselves don't make you skinny. It's just they occupy you a little bit, and you tend to do less noshing and more inhaling. But eventually, it'll even out. And you'll just eat more. So not a good plan. But you work on that eating disorder, yes?
Okay. Thanks,
all right, baby doll. Let me tell you, I got a theory about the eating disorder, Drew.
I'm listening.
I may have floated it before. People with big heads more susceptible to an eating disorder.
What? They just look at their big heads because they're so depleted. They're all eating their body's protein.
I mean, some people, you don't have this. I have this. And a lot of people have this. Some people, you know, they put on 10 pounds, their head gets big. They get jowl, you know, double chin, and it shows in their face. Mm. And there's some people that have sort of a naturally robust head. Mm. A lot of folks in the Latino culture will have a full head. A lot of neck, a lot of chin, you know, full cheeks. Now, if you're that person and you want a nice, skinny-looking sort of photogenic face, you have to be abnormally skinny to keep the face looking right. Mm-hmm. If you, I'll tell you something. I was thinking about this when I was watching. I've seen like Tracy Gold from Facts of Life, Step by Step, Growing Pains. A little fast with that, Chris. A little fast. Now, here's what I'm saying.
A little enthusiastic, too.
She had an eating disorder. Yeah, now you feel bad masturbating to her, don't you? She had an eating disorder, okay? She had one of those sort of heads that when she put on 10 pounds and then the camera got on her, looked like a chipmunk. Mm. See what I'm saying? In order to keep her puss looking good for the camera, her body had to be emaciated.
Well, let me tell you what I've noticed.
Thank you.
I noticed something similar to that.
Let me say something else. Mm. The people who have the skinny faces, once in a while you see that dude whose head can't put on an ounce, big fat ass on him and stuff. It's kind of weird. It's like you see the dude. It's weird when you see him at the gym because he's got that face that's like he's got the cuts and the dimples and the lines and the clefts and stuff. And he pulls his shirt off, big gut comes slopping out, stretch marks on the hips and stuff. It's like, where'd you get that head? Whose head is that? That head is it should be on a washboard ab body, and it's on big sloppy guy body. Well, that's the dude whose head doesn't put any weight on. That guy's free to eat, by the way, because all he's got to do is put a tie on and a jacket, and he always looks great. Just tuck the shirt in, pull the jacket. I mean, till the point when he, you know, starts becoming obese, no one knows about the extra 20 pounds. Thank you. Go ahead.
I have noticed that I rarely see eating disorders, although I have, but rarely see eating disorders in women particularly that have that sort of what's on the magazine shapes.
Yes.
You know, some women, and that shape, that bone structure or shape, that symmetry can be kind of big or kind of small, but it still is that shape. It all fits together even when it's 10 pounds up or 10 pounds. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The ones that I see getting eating disorders are trying to force their body into that form, and it ain't ever going to happen.
Yeah, but it's also the... Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. Uma Thurman doesn't have an eating disorder because she's cut in that shape.
Yeah.
And if she put on 20 pounds...
She'd still be that shape.
She'd be that shape 20 pounds heavier.
It still look fine.
Tracy Gold puts on 20 pounds, her head balloons
up. Everything else gets all...
Yeah, everything... Well,
but already it was kind of...
Right. So it starts... It's like when they... Some people put 10 pounds on... And it's like you add an eighth of an inch all the way around. Other people, it's like you take a big club of mud and stick it on to the middle of their back.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, let's take we got 15 pounds of clay. We'll take four of it and mash it onto their face, and then we'll take the other and mash it onto their ass, and then we'll put a little up front. Yeah, those people can't afford to put on 8 pounds.
But they also, even when they get real skinny, still aren't the shape they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I still think that's what they're the part of the problem.
I say it's the cabeza.
Part of it is that. I agree with you. It's part of it.
You see the guy with the skinny head or the chick with the skinny head. Never gets the eating disorder. Yeah?
All right.
Think about it. Drew's drawing a picture.
Yeah.
Drawing a chick now?
I can't do it.
All right, I know what you're saying. All right, we got to take ourselves a break.
All right.
The jowly thing.
That's part of it. Yeah, I get the cabeza part, yeah.
And by the way, when you got the skinny head, no one ever says anything. I mean, unless you hit the beach.
Well, but the
no one at work says
men, but see, the women still start worrying about it.
Yeah. That's true. See? It shows a little more. A little more.
It's a little bit different, yeah.
All right, buddy. All right. Passionate man. Passionate man. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Don't worry about the phone number, kitty. Tomorrow night, we have Andy Richter and Jack Osborne coming in here from New York Minute.
Yeah.
That's Drew's latest joint.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. A cinematic triumph. A lot of fun. If you're Olsen Twin fans, you'll like this, I'll tell you what.
Has it been reviewed at all
no,
yet?
No, a couple of days.
Drew's going to get angry.
Really? Oh, well, I'll get hurt.
You'll get hurt.
Yeah.
And then protective over the girls.
Yeah. Well, I'm already protective over the girls.
Now it's coming out this Friday.
Yeah.
And what else has come? Van Helsing?
And that's really it.
Nothing else. There's nothing out right now, really.
Well, I heard that a lot of the companies were sort of avoiding it because of the Mary-Kate and Ashley. They have such prowess. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to release... Well, let's put it this way. If you're releasing Van Helsing, some R-rated horror film, then you're not worried about it. But if you're going to release some other, you know, teen coming of age,
right.
you know, Hilary Duff movie,
right.
I don't think you would do it.
No way.
Yeah.
No, this would kill it.
Just wait it. Wait a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Well, for them and for you. Like, why... You know, I mean, why split up something that you could each have? Why take the pie and cut it up when you can get a whole pie, possibly
a couple weeks later?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Ashley, who's 21.
Speaking
Ashley?
Of the Mary-Kate and Ashley.
No, yeah. What's up, baby doll?
Nothing much. I have a question.
You've been on hold for 116 minutes.
I know.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I see your question, and Drew kept wanting to get to you, but we kept talking to these chicks that were having trouble with their husbands putting out, so I didn't want to double them up, so I kept putting you off.
It's okay.
All right, well, I'm glad you can have a good attitude about it. So, anyway, your husband doesn't want to have sex with you?
No, not really. I mean, we'll have sex every once in a very, very great while.
How often is that?
Like, maybe once a month, sometimes longer.
And that's because of him, not because of you.
That's because of him.
Is he living away from you or anything?
What was that?
Does he live away from you, or is there anything, any reason that it would be that infrequent?
I don't know. See, a while ago he left for about 5 months. He was in the military,
mm-hmm.
and it took me a while to move where he was transferred.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it just kind of seemed to go downhill.
Yeah. All right. And he's your age?
Yes. We're both 21.
Was he on any medication? Are you there?
Yeah.
Is he on any medication?
He's not. I was on an antidepressant.
Do you have baby kids?
No, we have no children.
All right. Well, look, a couple things. First off, don't have any kids.
Nobody have any kids.
No, here's the thing. Don't have any kids. A, because you're 21. B, because he's like 21 and in the military. And C, maybe this ain't a fit. I mean, I'm not saying scrap the relationship, but you guys did get married young. And
we're hitting some skids here.
You guys are hitting, you know, you've hit a sand bunker pretty before you left the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, normally you don't hit that thing to the 13th, 14th hole. You guys hit it. You're still in the parking lot of the club.
Yeah, that's sort of my take, too. It's like there's nothing specific here that we can look at and go, yeah, that needs to be fixed, or this is a historical issue, or this is not medicine or medical problems. It's, hey, this is a young marriage, and pow, there's a sign of trouble, a
real
serious sign of trouble. And maybe a couple's counseling or something.
See, I've tried, and... We were, no offense, but we were up in line for Dr. Phil's show for counseling.
Yeah.
And he just kind of was like, no. So we decided to go for a local therapist, and then at the last minute, he backed out.
Well, he's humiliated, and this would be humiliating to him.
Or he's got a secret.
Well, either way, he'll be humiliated.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, Ashley. You need to explain to him, look, we need to talk about this. We need to work it out. And look, if you're gay, now's the time to pipe up. If you're seeing somebody else, now's the time to pipe up. If you're depressed, if you're sexually abused,
whatever it is,
it's going to need to be addressed, because otherwise, I'm going to be moving on.
And it's not something that walking onto a television show and someone yelling at you is going to solve. This is going to take many, many
months. Drew's jealous of Phil, but Phil, no. If anyone could do it, Phil could. Yeah.
See, he's cheated on me before we got married.
Oh, boy. Uh-uh.
And I was stupid and kind of just chewed him out, and then, you know, I just kind of let it go. Yeah. And I'm thinking that he's seen her again, because there for a while she was calling here a lot.
Could be.
And by the way, talk about Huevos, by the way. Calling your place a lot after you busted him with this chick?
Well, it was about... See, she didn't start calling until about a year after we moved back, after that had happened.
Yeah, but...
That's even bigger.
Oh, okay, but... And what are you doing? Are you answering the phone? How do you know it's her?
I've answered the phone a couple times when she's called.
And what'd she say?
She'd ask for him, and I tell her that, you know, of course, usually he wasn't home.
Ashley, do not have a baby until this is sorted
out.
Please, dear God.
I have a thyroid condition, so we'd still use protection, but it's the chances of us having children are kind of slim.
That's good.
Who told you that?
My physician.
That your gynecologist told you this?
Yeah.
Because of your thyroid problem?
Yeah, I have a very, very underactive thyroid.
Yeah, but you take thyroid replacement, and that takes care of it. Pow, that's it.
Well,
you can get pregnant just like anybody else.
See, that's what I read, that the thyroid replacement could help that, but she said that the chances were still slim, so I don't know.
This was a physician assistant, or this was a physician?
My actual physician.
Uh-huh.
Do you have normal periods?
No,
Do you have premature ovarian failure?
Yes.
Well, good times.
Okay, so that's a different thing. That's not your thyroid condition. That's your multiple glands.
I'm glad you can't have any kids, especially with this guy.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah, but good times.
Yeah, but good times. And look, this guy, doesn't mean she's a big gal?
I don't know. I didn't think so. I don't feel that. But I think he's up to something. And that's
Well, you know. The chick is calling again. You got popped with?
I know. And 21. That's all you need to know. 21.
Listen, don't get married. Here's the thing, everybody.
Don't get married at 20.
No, look, somebody needs to recalibrate this. Yeah. I mean, people live till 85. They work until they're in their 70s now. They're virile and productive members of society in their 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Education is going on into the later 20s and early 30s. Careers are shifting and changing. It's not the society it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Marriage at 21 is really, I would say, the equivalent of 16. 30, 40 years ago.
I frankly put it about 14.
Really?
It's just cutting your knees off in the right in the middle of the race.
What'd I say? Down. I said 16.
So you're close. I wanted to, a little more dramatic. A little more dramatic.
Even if you got a lie. All right. Let's talk to Julie, who's 19.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hi. I have a problem that during sex, I have, like, after he pulls out, it's like a farting sound.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. It takes all kinds.
It really does.
On me. What is it? Do you guys know what that is?
Well, you get a lot of air pushed up in there, you know?
It's a piston action, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even hear, like...
You don't like it.
Huh?
You don't like it? Well, you can try to maybe tighten your abdominal muscles during the whole act, kind of get some counter pressure.
You got a stuffed animal or something you can put down there? You know, baffle it a little, break it up.
I guess. No.
Yeah, is this your boyfriend?
Yes.
All right.
Try different positions. Sometimes that'll help.
He's cool with it, though, right?
I'm sure he's fine.
Well, he's fine with it. It's just
he cracks up, though, I'm sure.
Huh?
Yeah, look, I don't know why. I don't know, you know, who this happens to. I don't know if it's the guys with the mushroom-shaped penises or it's the chicks that are extra moist or it's the larger scale women. I had a big problem with this in my day, although it is, it's reared its ugly head from time to time. You don't see it in porn.
Amazingly.
Well, if you think about it, I've watched millions of hours of porn.
They can cut that part out if they need to. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Yeah.
Let me tell you about cutting things from films. I'm an expert on that now.
Yeah.
Everything I did.
Drew, all on the editing room floor. Julie?
Yeah?
You big gal or?
No. I think I probably do get pretty wet, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Is your boyfriend got the stuffed mushroom down there?
I guess.
Okay.
I think of it.
All right. Yeah, don't think of it as an appetizer. All right. Think of it as a main course. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Well, that's it. That's the show. Andy Richter in here tomorrow night. And
Jack.
Jack Osborne.
That's a big billing.
That's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it's going to be a good
show.
That
is a big, what we call a triple booking minus one.
And you'll have three of the...
Or quad booking minus two. We don't call
three
it
of the principals
booking.
From New York Minute right here on this show.
That's right. Oh, we're counting through?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, minus one.
Yeah.
We'll take ourselves a little extendo break. Big show tomorrow night. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.